Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat.
And this is Carl, your other host of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast, which is an audio program where we discuss your favorite and not so favorite science fiction TV shows and films.
Today we will discuss Extant, and that comes on Wednesdays, CBS 10-9 Central.
Starring the lovely Halle Berry.
Huh? Yeah. A lot of people aren't fans of her. And I don't really know why. I mean, she's fine. She's, you know.
Oh, she's fine.
Whatever. Anyway, well, I just like her. I'm a fan. You know, I'm not, you know, the biggest fan of her Storm. But, you know, she's, you know, it is what it is. Anyway. So are we still excited about Extant as much as we were when it first debuted?
Well, I'm enjoying the quality of the production.
Mm-hmm.
One thing you can tell about the show is it is well made, and it's got a rich environment, and it seems like there is a real story that we are a part of. So
Under the Dome burn.
I was not naming any names. I am simply saying, as opposed to other programs that might be out there, when you watch Extant, it feels like that there is a larger plot going on, and that the things that you are experiencing are fitting like lockstep puzzle pieces within a greater story. So we're being led down a road, characters come in, they have significance, and the stuff seems to fit together. So I believe they've got the very solid foundation in place. So when I'm watching the show, none of those little things are bothering me. The characters feel pretty solid. Mm. The effects are great. I like the effects. You can tell it's the mostly future. It feels solid in terms of all of that. So they got a good space that they're working in.
Literally. Yeah, I have to agree with you. I'm not sure how other people are feeling about this one, but I still watch it. It's not as snappy as it was with all the special effects and space stuff like the first episode.
Wow, so a sci-fi program that spends a whole lot of money on the pilot episode, gives us a whole bunch of special effects, and then not...
Calm down.
Calm down. I don't know.
Calm down.
That's
Carl.
A crazy idea.
Yeah,
it's a crazy idea.
Just calm down. Okay. So we compared this last time to Defying Gravity. I will say that this is going at a faster pace than Defying Gravity. Things are fitting together more than Defying Gravity. I don't really have any characters that I dislike and that annoy me. You know, I mean, even the character that I would say annoys me the most, she's still pretty compelling, and that's like assistant girl. Or whatever, assistant scientist.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, okay.
I don't even know if she's an assistant, which is really sexist to assume she is. Whatever. Sorry. But I just don't have that. What I really enjoy about this is it is just a basic story. They could really tell this story almost kind of anywhere in any setting, and they don't have to use the future. But the fact that, you know, she got pregnant in space, there's kind of a corporate conspiracy as opposed to government conspiracy. It's nice.
Yeah. Always a criticism of mine when you tell the exact same story and sprinkle in science fiction. But because they put enough money into it, they've created enough space for something possibly new and interesting can happen, I'm willing to roll. So So what do you think about the space baby idea? I mean, just in general.
Well, so this is the basis of the whole story. Like, it, this is what the story surrounds. And there's a lot of mystery there for me. We see some weird things happening to Molly. She has, like, weird little patterns appearing in her stomach. The baby sometimes hurts her. I really enjoy that she finally told her husband about the baby and he didn't freak out all of the way. But I think they're staving off the freak out because they both think that she's impregnated with his seed, yeah, as it were. Mm-hmm. And but we both know, Carl, that it's going to be Marcus's baby or an, yeah, alien baby. I mean, it's either going to be like come out totally dark skin or green or gray.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. I think it's fine. I mean, I see that coming. I'm not upset about it, but I really want to see how, because they seem measured and, you know, like real adults who have real feelings and stuff like that. So we won't get some over the top ridiculous response to it. We'll get something measured and practical. And to see his ultimate response at shock and concern, then excitement, then protection. There's just a lot of things that I really enjoy about her current husband or husband.
Yeah. Well, he does have a very mature response to the situation and a genuine enthusiasm because he thinks it's his baby. But things are going to be really interesting around delivery time. Well, going to be a little surprise there one way or another. So, I'm not sure how he's going to react. I hope his reaction is sufficiently crazy, though. If he just comes out with, "Oh, that's okay, baby, as long as we're together,"
well,
I'm going to be a little put out.
Well, but she doesn't know either. So it's
no. I'm talking about his response. Like,
I know, but she has to have the same response too, because she doesn't know how. It's not really just his response too, because she doesn't know. So it'd be different if she knew that it wasn't his and he didn't know at the same time. So when they do find out, they're probably going to find out together. And that, I mean, I don't want you to focus on only his response.
Well, we were talking about him first. I was getting her, but
okay. Sorry.
So, okay. So let's start with his perspective on this, because there are a whole lot of chain reactions that are going to occur. One of the big things about their marriage troubles was, one, the fact that they could not have a child together. Two, he's sort of replacing that child with his passion for robot technology. And so already we see some strains developing, because he's like, "Hey, I built you, you know, a baby son, and you seem to be a little occupied with the new baby coming along. That's fine. But I'm starting to get concerned about your reaction to the robot son, because so far already you've accused him of like chasing birds. You give him a hard time at school. You won't let him play with a balloon. And now you left him in the field." I'm thinking maybe. So you see that little tense dynamic going on. The other scientist, the co-developer of the robot, like I told you, I had a feeling that there might be some kind of tension developing there, at least from the robot boy's perspective there, that he might feel a little more close to her. You see them gaming together and, you know, all that kind of stuff in the past. And I think that's going to be an additional tension where you're not going to know, is it because the boy is having some circuit problems? Is it because he prefers the co-scientist as his
Julie
as he prefers Julie
or Katie?
What?
Is I'm it sorry.
Katie? Okay, he prefers her. So there are some interesting dynamics going on there that remain to be seen.
That is Julie. Okay, so Well, I would agree with you about her feeling, I guess, strain with the robot son. However, I was extremely impressed with her response to his disappearance. She kept going and looking for him in the woods by herself when her husband was like punching cops and stuff like this. So
I know that reaction was a bit extreme, I must say. That was
insulted. I mean, but it's just like people, I mean, I think what they wanted to do was play it like, oh, why am I supposed to care about your toaster? You know, it was almost the equivalent to John as calling his son the N-word. True. So I think that that's what they were trying to kind of portray there. It didn't work so much, but we got it. Yeah. But I was just really impressed that she really was concerned about Ethan, and she went out by herself without the husband. And as a result, of course, she gets captured, and we see Ethan get disabled. So, I on the one hand, I don't think she treats him as lovingly as she would a flesh and air quote blood human child. But when it comes down to it, I do think she will go the extra mile for Ethan.
It seems that way.
Oh, seems that way. Okay.
It seems that way. Yeah. Because she put herself in danger even though she's being chased. Yeah. Although, speaking of being chased.
Oh, here we go.
The scene where she's riding in the car with Skinner or whatever the guy's name is, right? You know, they're on the way to some place that she does not know where they're going, and they're just cruising down the road together. The moment she gets the text that says, get out of the car, and she jumps out of the car, and she starts taking off running down the street. Now, I've got to admit, I have enjoyed watching Halle Berry run throughout the series of Extant.
Here we go.
That is a lot of fun. But did you see how nobody made any effort to try to catch her when she took out running down the street? I mean, Skinner's just like in the car, like, well, I don't know where she's going. Maybe I'll call somebody. What? She's
that booking dude down the is street. Too old to be trying to run after her. He's like, I ain't going.
He really didn't. So she's just booking down the street with nowhere to go. Was she going to run up in the woods? Whatever. So fortunately, the husband pulls up immediately after them.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
Son in tow, bags packed, all set to go. I thought that was
that's convenient.
That was a little convenient. Little convenient there.
Yeah. It's a little convenient. But maybe the doctor sent him a text.
Sorry. Let's go with that. Yeah. Seeing the holes that we've had to deal with in the past, I'll take it. Let's go with that.
Oh, yeah. So, I just don't understand. Like, so here we go again with a series that they're posing a lot of questions. There's a lot of mysteries. There's a lot of things going on, but we still kind of don't know the motivations of anyone. Skinner or Alan Sparks, I don't understand what he gains out of letting Yasumoto have his way with Halle Berry. And who are they? You know, we still don't know who they are. And I'm concerned because I don't want it to be a big rubber alien reveal and be let down. I need them to ease that information in so we could kind of see where we're going and what we're dealing it with the show, because it's a fine balance or a fine dance that they have to do to I don't know, unveil what they're going to do.
It's a really fine balance. And the only way that I guess I can kind of put an edge on it right now is the fact that we've never really seen the aliens to start with. Okay, the fact that they are this sort of phantom ghost apparition thing that no one's been able to prove or no one says exists or not, although we see evidence of them. The first time that we see any real physical interaction is that now she's pregnant. She's carrying this baby. So if that's the case, if that's the case, and everything has been this sort of mystical, inferential kind of thing, the only way that that would kind of map and make, is if the baby comes out completely normal and then has an ability. Because if all of a sudden this baby pops out and has got a green head and is like V's eating mice or something like that, then the light touch that we have experienced with not seeing anything about these aliens this whole time, I think it would kind of be jarring. I think it would be jarring. So, yes, I agree with you. They need to unveil this the right way, and then it's got to be slow, and it's got to be a light touch. But not so light touch that we can't tell it's an alien baby at all. If that baby comes out and it looks just like the two of the parents and no influence whatsoever.
Oh, that would be good, though, because because I don't want the whole it's a black baby. I don't want that
Look, they're going to let that issue go. even if that happened, that's okay. If there's no evidence at all, then that's going to throw us back into the, was the whole thing a dream? Or maybe it was just an electronic disturbance and it's just, too many questions, not enough resolution. So they're gonna have to give us something when this baby comes rolling around, and it's gonna have to be good.
Now, what I don't want is the accelerated pregnancy and the accelerated growing up thing, like we've seen on Deep Space Nine with the baby Jim Hadar, like we've seen on V with the other thing, like we've seen on the 4400, where like the baby grows up in the span of two episodes and is a full grown person.
What, you think that's a hackneyed tome? That's something that we've seen maybe once or twice before on a pseudo sci-fi program? Don't be ridiculous.
And which is,
I mean, the only thing worse is if this accelerated growth baby popped out of the two parents looking like that, and then all of a sudden had a shock of blonde hair for no good reason, Mm. But look, that would just be going too far. But please go on.
I don't know. I just feel that the show is so elegant, and any day now it could just jump the alien.
Yeah.
Not even a shark could jump the alien, because I know you've been putting up with my tweets and my Facebook posts about my rewatch of the X-Files, but to watch the X-Files now, I really can't believe that the whole country was watching this thing and we kind of fell for the story, and it felt believable and engaging, because now I look at the way Mulder goes on and how he was just so adamant about aliens and the existence of, he was crazy, and I don't understand why anybody would put up with that, and I don't understand how like we as a country just there are people out there that
you have to remember, the X-Files was the Precambrian one.
Yes.
Of all of these other shows. Shows like Lost and the good instances of where they ask a question and they try to lead the audience on season after season. Where do you think that came from?
That's some X-Files.
X-Files did that first. Now, The X-Files was in my home sphere. You know, I mean, it was DC, it was aliens, it was technology. Everything about that was my kind of thing. And I was going, all right, they need to do something about now. I mean, I could feel it then, but I still watched it. I watched it right until the end.
Yeah.
And that is part of what educated me very quickly about that format of a show. After that, and after the X-Files finale, and then after seeing the movie, which I couldn't get enough, I saw the movie too. I said, okay, in the future they're gonna have to do better than this. This ain't
the first movie was good.
Yeah.
Well, upon reflection, because I didn't like it when I first saw it, but then I rewatched it, and I was just like, oh my God, it's just sliced toast.
Well, the point is all I wanted was resolution. I wanted some closure. Mm-hmm. And so you know what they did with that movie. Mm-hmm. So it was very consistent with the series, shall we say. Mm-hmm. So we were, at the time, that was all new. And given it, and remember, they didn't have decent special effects. So what now... when we watched it back then, we were more forgiving as an audience because we weren't used to having fringe caliber special effects, almost human level special effects coming out where we could get that kind of visceral response purely visually. We were more falling out from that Starman kind of like 80s Fallout where it was just the glimmer was good, a cocoon kind of thing.
Oh, no!
Just a little splash of light was enough. So we grew up as an audience.
Yeah.
We had that, and that was good enough back then. But I wouldn't pull that now.
Mm-mm.
No way we could get away with that
you
now.
You cannot pull out a gray alien. You just can't do it. Falling Skies is a prime example of why you can't pull out aliens like that on TV anymore. It used to work.
At least on Falling Skies, you get to see the alien.
I wish they wouldn't have shown it because it's not worth it. It just pulls you right out. I can't, like, Carl, you still want us to watch it. And every time I look at our list of shows to watch, and I'm just like, oh my God, I'm so busy doing something else. I can't watch it because sorry.
Yeah, well, we know the series is coming to an end. So whether one way or another, if you want to watch it, fine. If you don't want to,
oh, really? I love you.
Whatever. I'm just saying that at least, I mean, but compared to X-Files, clearly the story and the writing was much better on X-Files than Fallen. But I'm talking about in terms of special effects now. What people expect for a television series caliber of special effects is way more now than what we had for the X-Files. That was cutting edge.
Yes, yeah, but I'm just concerned. I don't know what they're gonna do with, like, I don't, because then on the one hand, showing an apparition of a human and it's an alien but it's not really there, that's not entirely satisfying.
Nope.
But at the same time, we don't want a gray alien that's rubber suited and unbelievable. But at the same time, we don't want any clunky special effects like Defiance. Then we really kind of don't want like them to pull a zipper down their head and in their face and like a lizard comes out. So I don't know what they can do that would satisfy me.
Because I am old school sci-fi.
Oh yeah.
Old school. I genuinely don't care as much about the quality of the special effects if they can give me a compelling story. I'm absolutely sincere about that. I really, really mean that.
But that's not what I'm talking about, the quality. I'm just talking about the alien presentation itself. I want it to be as believable as the story that we have right now. Because like I said, why I mentioned the light touch that they have is that if they go with the heavy hand with the baby or the alien reveal, that's just going to pull people out. I think what they're trying to do with Extant and what they tried to do with Defying Gravity was ground it in reality to keep normal viewers satisfied. So if they jump into something too weird, what's gonna happen? I don't know where they're gonna go. I'm gonna watch to see where they're gonna go. I like what they're doing right now. However, like, there's only so many more episodes that they can go without revealing something.
Yeah. Early on in the series, I was very excited about the different pieces of technology and the different views of science and all that stuff that we could see. I was excited because the science fiction edge of this showed a lot of potential. I mean, you got the cool mad science labs, you got the AIs, you got biology, you got aliens, you got space. All of that's going on at the same time. And that's really compelling. And I was wanting to see the stories developing in a way that took advantage of that being the canvas. We've seen the episodes so far. You see where we are. When I found ourselves in a cabin running through the woods again, I started to get a little twitch. I started to get a little
Planet
twitch.
Planet Canada. Yeah.
I was a little. So, what also concerned me is, again, I can't just watch the show. I gotta kind of like feel the environment of the show. You saw the movie AI, right?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Okay. Well, you know Spielberg is behind this.
Mm.
There's the moment where the robot is running through the woods, and the military guys, the covert ops guys are coming there to get him. And then, of course, there's the cradle scene where the mom is holding the robot and the helicopter lights from above shine down on him. That was straight out of AI. Straight out of AI. And considering how things went with AI, I don't want them borrowing too heavily from that one. I'm letting it go. I'm letting it go. Then, of course, you and I have been watching what's our sci-fi channel movie with the virus?
Helix.
Okay, so we've been watching Helix now, and we have seen our scientist guy underground in his concrete bunker, surrounded by medical equipment, medical gear, and all that kind of stuff, to find the lead scientist underground in a bunker, surrounded by medical equipment in the concrete walls, looking very much like an episode of Helix.
Yeah.
Very much like an episode of Helix.
Yeah.
I don't want Spielberg borrowing from the Sci-Fi Channel in terms of where things are going on this. So we are starting to move away from the rich tapestry of multiple technologies of the future world that they're in. We have found ourselves now.
Let me add to that.
Yes.
So when the husband conveniently showed up with son in tow and bags packed.
I didn't notice that at all. God, yes.
They were just driving a regular car, and then like somebody in Foley added some little Jetson.
No. You got to realize the only way a car is in the future is if it's got that cool electric jet engine sound. That clearly tells us it's the future. Clear indication.
I was so disappointed with that. And then they got out, and it was just a regular car. And like, I don't know if I wanted it to fly because we have the flying car in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and that's not
entirely successful.
So we went to a cabin with Louis Gossett Jr. Yay! But
I'm happy to see him. Always happy to see him. But yes, but.
It was just everything was so regular, and then like they broke out a antique DNA machine, which is just today's tech that her father just so happened to have in his shed to do a DNA test that they didn't even get stick around to see the results of because baby boy ran off because he got yelled at for not winning the game because the father has
an alcohol problem, alcohol and gambling, mm-hmm. which causes stress between the daughter and father. It's a very, very emotional line going on there. It's a very, very emotional story that's really tugging at the heartstrings. So. Yep. Sometimes can we just get back to some of the science fiction? Because if you're going to do that, the story has got to be compelling enough that it's new, that it's innovative, that it is taking advantage of all of the wonderful space that you've created. So to go from space, aliens, genetic technology and robots to alcoholic gambling father in the cabin, It's a kind of a long way. It's a long way to go.
Well, I mean, we ended up with Molly in a kid abducted.
And by the way, best escape ever. I mean, she breaks out and staggers down the hall. It goes completely by the guy whose outfit she could have taken, like you do in every good escape. The guy's face and head was covered. All she had to do was just throw it up. But of course, she was still drugged up, so we'll let that slide. So she staggers down the hall.
Oh, you missed something. She had a power. She magnetoed that thing into her hand.
Lightsaber, that's right. Let's use the force to pull the syringe thing or whatever.
Magneto or the force, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So she had made it all the way down the hall. All she had to do was go through the last door to the left, and she throws open the door. They're like, be our guest. Just welcome right in. I mean, that was the wrong door.
Yeah, that was the wrong door. And everybody's just like, oh, all right.
Not even surprised. They're like, oh, there she is. Come on in. That is unfortunate.
And then they put her on the table.
Yep.
Did not have stirrups.
I'm sure they will.
No, that's going to be too creepy. Uh-huh. But yeah. Sounds like we don't like it, but we do. We do like this show.
We're teasing them about the loose edges. The loose edges. We just want them to take full advantage of everything that they have created so far.
I think Almost Human did a better job of spreading the tech around each episode. They gave us something slightly new. I mean, some episodes, yeah, they were in like a stairwell the whole time or in the car cracking jokes, but there was still little techie things that you could tell it was in the future. This latest episode, it could have been anywhere. It was just not that much science in the future, and we like the snazzy things, and I just want to tell anyone who's making these shows, because I know everyone listens to this show, that you should use your budget more wisely. And I know, like, throwing science fiction tech and little CG stuff may seem shallow, but if you're going to start out one way, you need to be consistent and to keep the audience.
We absolutely need to see it. It's something real in every episode. And we understand the concept of bottle shows. We understand that you got to watch your budget and everything. But just like you know how the story arc is going to go from the beginning of the series, you do need to more liberally spread out the integration of the science fiction part, whether it's the technology or the visual effects or something. We don't want to see an episode that's supposed to be set in the future with androids that takes place, say, in somebody's living room for the whole episode. Sarah Connor Chronicles. If you're supposed to have androids having a discussion and it's supposed to be set in the near future, to put an entire show just chilling in a living room. When they weren't chilling in a living room,
Sarah Connor was getting beat up.
Yes, but at least that was cool. I like the fights.
I got sick of seeing a woman abused every week.
But she's Sarah Connor. She can take it. She's tough.
She's just a woman. Just a human.
No, she's Sarah Connor.
She don't have powers. She's just a woman getting beaten.
Her power is tough.
Uh-huh. So how many parties is Molly going to have?
Yeah. She does entertain, doesn't she?
Yeah.
She tends to entertain. There's a lot of that going on. Well, apparently not many more, because after getting run out of the house, she's got no friends. She's in a cabin now in the Wagoner. I don't think they're going to be throwing a lot of grandiose galas from now on, unless it's going to be in the cargo ship someplace.
Oh, here we go. So why, instead of Marcus, did she see Marcus's brother, Timothy?
Well, that's just the way the aliens communicate.
No,
with her.
Carl, damn it, no.
I'm trying to work with the show here. What?
That is because, like, the one guy, he couldn't make it to film, so we just used his another random black guy that you probably won't notice the difference. And, like, no.
Oh, no, she didn't say that. Look, this is how the aliens communicating with, and this was
random black guys.
This was our sixth sense moment, because clearly that guy was actually there. He wasn't the one that we've known. So that was the twist. That was the twist that they were throwing at us, that Molly, she's fine. This isn't the dead guy. This is somebody else. And so her mind's not playing tricks on her. This is actually a person here to support her. And at the last minute, snatch it away. They snatch it away.
It was so Tyler Durden, and it felt so unnecessary. But I mean, yes, it was it was a convenient way to tell her husband about the pregnancy without it being super awkward, you know, because I just didn't know how they were going to handle that. And I just think they handled it well. So maybe because they handled it in that way, and it was just, it wasn't too intense. It wasn't throwaway. It was just like the reveal, and I got what I wanted from that. I have hope that they're going to do the baby thing properly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
No,
I'm not going to disagree with you. I hope they do the baby thing. I'm with you. The whole trend is going kind of bottle right now, and I'm hoping it's going to open back up.
Well, it doesn't lend itself to bottle episodes. It's straight serial. I mean,
Okay. I'm sorry. You're right. And by that, when I said bottle earlier,
no,
I didn't.
But you're telling the truth though, because there is like this latest one was kind of bottle because it wasn't even. It was like in nothing. It was like outside of our normal science fiction little
context,
bubble.
Context.
Yeah. So it was, yeah. It felt kind of like a bubble, which is why I kind of agreed with you on that.
Yeah, okay. And so hang on. Normally when people say bottle shows, they're supposed to mean that an individual show stands on its own and that start to finish, it fits all within one episode. But that's not what I meant. I meant that it just felt smaller, and it felt smaller than all the other ones. And it felt like kind of everything that was going on just happened within a small room or a small mm-hmm. environment. And that's what I meant. But
I know
yeah.
what you meant. I know
yeah,
what you meant.
Right. I just wanted to clarify. Right. But yes, and I agree with you that the show doesn't feel like that's the direction they should be going. With all the questions that we have pending, we want this to be opening up and to become broader, and we, you know, more alien influence and more technology and more of that. For it to be getting smaller and smaller is worrisome. And I'm hoping that it's gonna break out and something really exciting or really extraterrestrial or really high tech or big is gonna start happening to kind of flesh it out. Because if this really just becomes, if we have a whole episode that's just about a delivery, and it's just in the medical room, and
you know what's gonna happen though, it's gonna be in that whole episode. It's gonna be in that medical room. She's gonna have flashbacks.
No, don't do that.
And then perhaps a flash forward. Oh, shocking!
Well, I know how you love flash forward. So, one only hope.
Yeah.
Come on!
Why do you hate me right now?
You brought it up. I'm hoping they don't do that. Let's hope
Tell
they
you.
Don't do that.
They're gonna have flashbacks. She's gonna be in the throes of passion with Marcus. She's gonna wake up. She's gonna feel guilty about it. Then they're gonna be. She's gonna like, I'm awake. And then they're gonna put the thing back on her face. She's gonna go back to sleep. She's gonna have another flashback. And then she's going to have like flashes of the baby. What's wrong with my baby? And it's going to be like a monster. And then she's going to wake up and the baby, and it's like it was all a dream. And then she's going to be like reading Word Up magazine.
I wasn't going to go on just then. I was tempted, but I just, let's hope they don't do that. Let's hope they don't do that. I want something. I would be a little put out if that baby grows fast. I just got to say, if the baby grows fast, we're going to have a problem.
I am so scared because this could go so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like Falling Skies, it just went wrong.
It did. It really did.
It went bad fast. Resurrection, we knew it was wrong from the start, but it just got wronker.
You know, I forgot that was still on. Is that
Isn't
still?
It?
Is it?
I thought it got canceled.
I don't know. I don't remember.
It doesn't exist to me. It's dead.
Well, I don't know. That doesn't mean that it's canceled. It just made me that the season was complete.
But so we're recording on Wednesday. And so a new episode of Extant is on tonight. So.
Oh, yes. I need to record that. I need to record that. So we'll do that. Wonderful.
Yeah. And, and maybe in 3 episodes, we'll check back in, see what's happened. If I'm crying, Carl's complaining, and he's in a rage about either heavy-handedness, teen angst, you know, the other things he said. You'll know.
Why would I have to rant about it if they wouldn't keep throwing it out there? Just quit throwing it out there. I don't want to see that again and again.
Y'all have to please Carl now. Y'all got to do the right thing. So, this does pass our test. We will continue to watch this one no matter what you people say.
Yeah, they've got a great environment. Everything is set up for this not to be bad. It's just try to keep it on the rails.
Yeah.
Just try to keep it on the rails, guys. Come on.
Yeah. So the ratings are mediocre.
Okay, which is great for a pseudo sci-fi program.
Yeah. Under the Dome is still doing better than it, but Under the Dome it has, you know, a whole season up.
Behind it.
Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. Ahead of Extant, but so we'll see. I don't know. I think I'm feeling, I just don't feel like people will support this because it is science fiction. People have problems with Halle Berry. I don't, you know, as soon as people hear science fiction, they just shut down. So we'll see.
I'm really curious what the programmers have in mind when they come up with new series now. If it's supposed to be a sci-fi program, to keep trying to walk this fine line seems like a dangerous strategy. It seems like you should either do science fiction or not. And
I think they just gamble every time because they really did not think a show like Sleepy Hollow was going to be so successful. Mm-hmm. They just kind of throw shit at the wall and see what sticks. And so, I mean, Defying Gravity didn't work back then. Maybe it'll work today with the success of Gravity. We wanted to throw an astronaut and a great actress and see if we can pull people in to look at our advertisements. And
the multi-sided die scheme of programming is what you're telling me. Halle Berry and androids and space and stuff. We'll do that.
Pregnancy, because women will feel.
Yes, and right. but a cute android baby boy that'll work.
The Force.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we'll have the Force. Actually, that was the bagel guy that ran in and said, "You gotta have the Force in there." Oh yes, right. Said the Force, and then he left, and they went back to twisting the mustaches.
Oh my God! Here we go. So yes, we will continue to watch this one. So anything else, Carl?
I got nothing. I need to see another episode to figure out how they're doing. So I have set it to record. I'll be sure and watch it.
Okay. Well, that's our show, guys. We'd love your feedback. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail at 773-336-2686. You know what? Also, leave us a review on iTunes. We haven't read one of those in a while. Also, you can go to our website. Leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com.
Excellent. You can find us online on Twitter and Gmail. I'm at Robo Minister. Kat is at Fancy Vimbot. And you can reach us both at Sci-Fi Party Line on Facebook, Google+, and Stitcher Radio.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.
End of line.